Fallout Equestria, Heroes, by No One. Chapter 13, Event Horizon. You can't see anything properly while your eyes are blurred with tears.
Dear Princess Celestia, I fucked up.
I'm not sure why I spoke. Maybe it was to drown out the screaming outside, or maybe it was to keep myself thinking and awake. The pain raged through my skull worse than anything I'd experienced before. Half my vision was a black and red blur.
I don't know what I was thinking,
I said. With all my strength, I got to my hooves, leaving heavily on the wall. Blood poured from my eye, dripping onto the floor like macabre tears.
I was trying to show her why I was a terrible mother.
I reached back, but I had to stop and gasp, closing my one eye tight. Fuck, it hurt so much. But I didn't allow myself to fall. I had to keep fighting.
I guess I did that.
That at least happened the way I wanted. Everything else, well, I guess you could call it temporary insanity. Or maybe in me. I never should have trusted some pony named Dragon Slayer. Should have never taken the job. I never should have taken the shot. I never should have set that colt on fire. In my mind, he was still burning. I doubted he'd ever go out.
So I murdered a child to teach another lesson, and I killed a village. More than a village.
I reached back and opened up my saddlebags. Sitting on top of the assorted junk was a vial of Med-X. You know, I wasn't sure where I bought it from, but it was there. It was waiting for me when I needed it, and it seemed I needed it a lot.
Are you even up there, Celestia?
I doubted it. Part of me still had that foal-like belief she was watching over us, but I found it hard to believe.
Can you see me?
I jammed the vial into my back. The pain faded, but it didn't leave me completely. How could it? I lost my eye. Still, it was enough to keep me upright.
Do you hate me, Celestia? You should. I'm not a very good pony.
I took a few steps and subtly shifted uncomfortably on my back.
I killed that colt. I saw him burn. He should hate me. Can a goddess hate?
That's a stupid question. Of course they couldn't. I stepped out of the room. Was the hallway always this long? I took a few more steps, my knees shaking. Damn it, I took the vial. I shouldn't be hurt. I should be strong. I knew I only had a single vial left. I don't know how I knew, but I knew.
For what it's worth, Celestia, I'm sorry.
I stumbled into the nearest wall with a thud. Was the room spinning? Room shouldn't spin. So much spinning. Across the hall, I thought I could see Wildfire smiling at me. She wasn't real, but I saw her. I blinked, and she was gone. But I could hear her voice in my ears.
You're working yourself too hard. Take a break.
No. No breaks. Ponies were dying because of me. Because I make stupid choices. I took a job to start a war. But I always took a job to end one if it started. That mattered, too.
I'll try harder. I'm sorry. I've learned something important.
My leg collapsed, bringing me to a knee. It shouldn't hurt so much. I was only shot once. Only once.
I learned.
There was a figure in front of me. I could barely see.
Celestia?
What?
The voice. I knew that voice.
You're Celestia's ghost. What happened to your eye?
High stakes. That was it.
Come on, there's a battle out there. If you fight, you'll die. We need to get you to safety.
No. I shook my head, sending spikes of flame into my brain.
Med-X in my bag, healing potion and...
And what? What was I going to say?
Ammo. Change it.
With my half vision, I could see him wince back, a look of confusion on his face.
I have a job to do. Find Serenity. Keep her safe.
You're going to risk your life for zebras?
Zebras I brought into this. Zebras I killed. Yes, of course. I had a contract and I had to prove to myself and Celestia that I wasn't a lost cause.
You're insane.
Behind him, I could see Wildfire smiling at me. Of course I was insane. How could I be anything else? Ever since the orb. Maybe before.
Do it.
He gave me the potions, and a few seconds later, the Med-X was flowing through me, and I could feel my eye stitching itself back together. Sort of. My sight didn't return, though. and the look on High Stake's face was enough for me to realize it was a lost cause.
Thank you,
I grumbled, my mind clear and the visions gone.
I'll find your daughter.
Was he mocking me or being earnest? Being around Flair so long, I couldn't even tell the difference. I wished Flair was there. He always knew how to lighten the mood, even at the expense of my pride.
First,
with a delicate magical touch, he tore off a piece of the tapestry hanging on the hallway and quickly fashioned me an eye bandage patch ugly thingy.
Keep it clean. Maybe if we can find a pony with medical skill, it can be salvaged. If not, then at least you'll be free from infections.
Thanks, I said again and stormed my way down the hallway. Upon reaching the stairs, I half ran, half slid down them. I was 3 stories up, and I needed to get to ground as fast as equinely possible. I couldn't risk not being as fast as possible. I don't know how, but I was going to stop this massacre, this battle I started. Just as I got to the bottom step, the door burst open. How long had it been since they started fighting? How had they gotten so far so fast? The pony that broke down the door was a bulky stallion in mercenary armor. 2 more followed after him. Why were semi-religious protesters so well-armed? It didn't make sense. Subtly fired. I managed to take 2 of them down in 3 consecutive shots. The 3rd, a mare with red hair, darted off to my right into my blind spot. Grunting in annoyance, I slid into cover behind a large desk. Bullets pierced through it in a flurry of splinters, as easy as a fish through water, but since she couldn't see where I was, every shot missed. Cover didn't necessarily mean protection, but it could still save your life. The burst of fire stopped, and I could have swore I heard the sound of a gun reloading. No time to lose. I jumped up, slamming my forelegs into the table for stability. I must have accidentally hit a button on my pit buck as suddenly everything whooshed. The sounds of battle were gone. Everything seemed so deathly still. I could still see the red-maned mare in front of me in perfect detail. Suddenly, I was staring at words. Amber words seemed to fill my vision. Welcome to Sats. Stable. I started to read, only to find my frustration I was unable to move my lips when I read. That made things difficult.
Okay. Needed to get out of Twilight Sparkle Zone and...
Skip, I said, reading an amber word near the bottom of my mind text. Suddenly, the message vanished, leaving me still very still. The mare across the room was highlighted in an eerie amber glow, and for some reason, her head's glowing highlight thingy was thicker. Beside it were more glowing words, 95, and then some sort of mathy symbol I didn't recognize. Sure, that sounded good, I guess. Off to the side, I saw a flash of words, and then suddenly I was back in reality. Subtly fired without me even realizing, the mare's head became a red smear on the wall and all over the room, really. It was a little disappointing to see the majestic and aged carpet on the floor splattered and destroyed because of me. Of course, it'd be more disappointing if I didn't get out of here and stop the fighting. I ran through the door of the building, trying to forget my strange time standing still adventure, and into hell. Somehow the camp had caught fire almost completely, and all the ponies from it were flooding into Kharkov like a stampede. Bloody battles seemed to be taking place in every house, but I had no idea who was winning. Celestia's vision seemed to have split into various smaller, torch-bearing mobs. Each was headed by 2 ponies in heavy mercenary-style armor. The groups fanned out across the town, picking houses at random and setting fire to them, and killing any zebras that got too close. You would think that this was a clear indication of who was winning, but... A single zebra burst out of the remains of a house, blood drenching his face. One of the mercenaries sent out a blisteringly fast burst from his automatic rifles, only to hit nothing but air. In all my life, I'd never seen anyone move so fast. The zebra ducked and weaved, not a single bullet hitting him, and slammed his forelegs into the pony's head. It snapped backward with a sickening crunch. The pony fell, and the zebra went to work on the rest of the mob.
Why didn't they just do that in the first place?
Strange.
I turned to see Zahini standing beside me, his face grim.
You show up, and suddenly everything goes to hell. Is there some sort of secret you do not wish to tell?
Wait, was he talking in rhyme? This really wasn't the time.
I should kill you.
Please don't, I grunted, a numb pain washing through me. Trying to save you. I ignored him. There really wasn't time to talk. Instead, I charged a nearby mob of 20 ponies. The mercenary directing the group tilted her head at me as I charged. I could see the confusion in her eyes. I guess in her mind there was no way a pony would be rushing to defend zebras. Maybe that was true, but she hadn't taken into account just how colossally stupid I could be. The mare got off a single shot from her pistol before I rammed her. Sticking my head between her forelegs, I lifted her up with my neck and then sent her soaring through the air. The second mercenary in the group turned to me, firing off a shot that embedded itself into my barden. Subtlety was faster than he was, as it took off his head at the neck before he could fire a second shot. Gore splattered the mob, and I saw their collective eyes go wide. Just like that, they scattered, most running for other small groups or back towards the burning camp.
"Good. Run," I said.
In the part of my vision obscured by the eye patch, I saw a splash of red. Wildfire was there in my blinded vision, shaking her head at me.
"Go away," I said to her. "You're dead."
She didn't, so I ignored her and charged off. If I could, I would find Righteous Song, the leader of Celestia's vision, and use her to stop this madness I caused. Serenity would never forgive me for this, that much I was sure, but I wasn't even sure if I could forgive myself anymore. The smell of smoke and fire burned my nostrils, but beyond it I could sense the stench of death, just beneath the surface. It was something I'd tasted before, but somehow it tasted all the worse because I was the cause of it.
Fuck. Depressing thoughts. Go away. I had ponies to save.
I took two steps when it hit me. That was, a something cracked my skull and sent me stumbling.
Fuck my ability to see right.
I turned and aimed subtly to see a striped muzzle glaring at me.
Magical time-stopping powers activate.
Nothing.
Fuck. Wait!
The zebra ignored my call and charged me. Her hoof blow was deflected off my metal leg.
Stop it!
I said. She turned and bucked. My neck snapped back, just dodging her hooves.
Damn, she was fast. I said,
as I ducked a hoof strike.
Let me!
I caught her hoof with my metal leg.
Speak!
With all my strength, I threw her into the ground. I watched her skid across the ground before saying,
Okay!
The mare slowly got to her hooves, but said nothing. Unfortunately, she also didn't stay long enough to let me speak my piece, and instead ran off into the din of war to find an easier target to fight.
Fuck, this was...
Gunfire erupted, and bullets slammed into my legs and chest and sent me stumbling to a knee.
Shit.
Well, that's okay. I wanted to lose more blood anyway. I gritted my teeth and looked up to see one of the mercenary ponies point a rifle at my head. My shoulder burned as the aura around the rifle glowed. Looking up at the barrel of the gun, I gave a grim smile. Just pull the trigger. End it. I started this battle. It was only fitting I died during it. Do it.
Do it!
I said. The pony behind the gun balked, startled by my words. Good. I didn't want to die anyway. I batted the rifle away with my pit buck, stumbled to my hooves, and blew his face off. He should have killed me. It would have been more just. But since when did the wasteland care about justice? I shook the thoughts out of my mind. Screams of pain came from all around.
Damn it, it smelled so bad. Why did I have to do this?
I closed my eye, but all I could see was the colt burning and Wildfire's disappointed green eyes. I wasn't sure what was worse. It didn't matter. I had to stop this, somehow. All around me was chaos. How was I supposed to? There was a scream. It sounded like Serenity. I took off in the direction of the scream. A mob of ponies were in my way, so I crashed into them. And trust me, when I crashed into ponies, they got the fuck out of the way or got crushed. It didn't matter to me which. That scream was embedded in my mind, and that's all I could focus on. It was strange I orchestrated this whole thing to make Serenity hate me, but still charged in when I thought she was in danger. In the end, it wasn't even Serenity. Instead, when I got my way through the crowd of murderous pastel ponies, I found a white pony with a long blonde mane standing over something.
"Not the children," she said.
"I told you all, they killed post haste,"
some pony in the mob spoke, but it could have been anyone.
"Why should we hold back?"
"Silence!"
It was then I realized I'd found Righteous Song, and she was protecting a zebra child from harm.
"Are we not better than they? Are you comparing our actions to savages? So does that not make you too a savage?"
The crowd quieted.
"This was to be a last resort, but if we cannot stop the murder of children, how can we presume to be in the right?"
The mayor stood, her hair blowing in the wind. "Call the steel hooves! Tell them to retreat! We have taught the zebras a lesson today, but we cannot continue killing foals!" The mob stopped, but did not do what was asked. "Now!" she screamed, and the mob scattered. She stood protectively over the striped form. She was here to kick these zebras out of their homes. Why did she care? Her eyes snapped to me.
"Who are you? I don't recognize you. What do you want?"
"You're a mother, aren't you?" I guessed. Her features softened just a little bit. I wasn't sure how I knew. It was just the way she was standing over the foal protecting him. I'd seen it before.
"You look injured. I will have the medics look after you."
She turned away. All around, the ponies were fleeing, but the zebras didn't follow. It seemed that after the ponies they were fighting turned to run, the zebras refused to follow. It didn't make much sense.
"We need to leave now."
I didn't. Instead, I turned my eyes to the sky. I heard it before I saw it peak over the horizon, a huge black vehicle flying through the sky, a vertibuck. I'd seen them before around Dais, but why would they be out here? It made no sense. Until I realized I had told Flair to meet us here. Well, at least he came in style. Of course, my medics had to wear off then. Even as Righteous Song fled, I fell and face-planted into the muddy dirt. Yum, dirt. I closed my eye and let myself drift into pain-fueled unconsciousness. I was not looking forward to the nightmares.
Once upon a time,
I took a deep breath and closed my eyes to give them a rest. Not too long, though, because I could feel Wildfire's stern gaze. Opening them back up, I looked down at the book and the row after row of squiggly writing. How could any pony look at this and understand? It wasn't that hard to find my spot, though. I was still on the first line. "And the mad..." I scrunched up my muzzle at the word and tried to sound it out. "Magic, clay."
"Magical, hon."
Wildfire's voice was soft, yet for some reason I still felt a fool for not getting it. "Magical," I said again, and tried to continue. "Land of..." What the hell was that? Words should not be that long. It was. "A cool rest." I blinked and rubbed my eyes with a hoof. I could do this. These were just stupid words. Every pony else could read, so damn it, I would too, even if it killed me. I looked down at the troublesome word. Yep, definitely kill me.
"Equestria."
I winced at what even I knew was a mangling of the word. I peeked over to Wildfire standing beside me. Turns out she was just as beautiful as the last time I looked. Only her green eyes seemed sad. No, that was not the right word. Her eyes looked to be pitying me. If there was a clear indication I got the word wrong, I didn't know.
"Silver,"
I winced at her tone.
"Where do we live?"
I looked down at the word again. That word does not look like Marefort. She chuckled softly.
"No, hon. Try again."
Try again? I stared at her blankly. We did live in Marefort. What else could you be saying?
"Equestria."
Oh! I perked up and went back to the word. Now that she mentioned it, it did look a lot like Equestria.
Ah, I was not a smart pony.
Reading should be left for eggheads. Not that Wildfire would let me stop. She had ways of making me do what she wanted. Okay, next part.
"Equestria. There were two
Fuck it. I kicked the book up and sent it flying through the air into the wall. I looked around and glared at everything. Our house used to belong to Wildfire's father, and like most houses in Marefort, it only had a single room. Ours, however, came equipped with two beds and a single table in the center of the room, so it was a little bit cramped.
"Silver!"
I winced and brought my glare to Wildfire's green eyes. Okay, I could do this. Just keep glaring. Keep. I couldn't hold up the facade and look at Wildfire, too, so my expression softened and I looked away. Damn her.
"You're the one who wanted to learn."
That was before I realized how difficult it was, I grumbled. It was difficult. I don't know how ponies thought it was so easy. Most of those squiggly letter things looked exactly alike. In my annoyance, I kicked the nearest thing, and that was the skinny mattress on the floor that served as our bed. It wasn't really big enough, though.
Well,
she trotted around me to make sure I was looking at her.
If you want to read the foundation, you need to learn to read.
I winced at that. Ever since we found foundation in the ruins of her home and started living together to take care of her, Wildfire had taken to reading a bedtime story to her every night. After a month or so, I got a little jealous, so Wildfire agreed to teach me. I was regretting my rashness a little bit, but it would be worth it if I could read Foundation that story. I sat down on the mattress bed thing. I need a break.
Oh.
Suddenly, her muzzle was way too close to mine. I could feel her warm breath on my neck, sending a tingling sensation down my spine.
Well, hon, I know how to make you relax.
Stop it. Was I blushing? I knew she did this just to make me flustered. I don't swing that way.
You did last night.
I squeaked and felt myself get an even deeper shade of red, which should have been impossible.
Ah!
I flattened my ears and looked away.
I didn't like mares, really.
It was only Wildfire. She was different. Something about the way her mane flowed down her neck, and that smile she gave when she was thinking of being mischievous. It wasn't fair.
What if some pony sees us?
They'll pretend like they didn't and walk away,
she said with a fluttering of eyelashes. I know she didn't want anything. She was just trying to get me going.
Come on, it won't take long.
She was so good at getting me going. It really was hard to say no. I don't know why I didn't want to be thought of as a filly fooler, but to me it just felt weird. Maybe because I wasn't one. Except when Wildfire got so close and I felt warm. Warm in so many places. I opened my mouth to protest, and she kissed me. All thoughts of abstaining vanished in my head as I touched her lips and melted into the kiss. She always tasted of raspberries, and her kisses couldn't have been sweeter. If I had it my way, I would have stayed there until I grew old and let her kiss me until we both died. It would have been a good life.
Oh.
I opened my eyes to see a charcoal gray filly staring at us from the door, her ruby red eyes, poetic, no, staring up at us in confusion.
Sorry, I didn't mean to. I just...
She looked away and squeaked a bit, trying to hide behind her long, pale green mane, which reminded me she needed it cut. It was so long it was reaching the floor and was a frazzled mess all over.
It's fine,
Wildfire said, giving me the cue to scramble away.
Have you been playing with the other kids?
Her tone was hopeful, but that hope was smashed when the filly shook her head. Foundation liked to go out and watch the other foals play, but if they asked her if she wanted to join, she usually shook her head and looked away. Some of the other parents. Is it strange I just thought of myself as a parent? I didn't feel like one, but there really wasn't another word to use. Came to us, worried she was a mute. It was a bit shocking, actually, as she never had been afraid to talk to us, but with any pony else, she seemed too timid to talk. Not that I could blame her after what she went through.
Sorry,
she said meekly, stepping into our house. She always seemed too wary, afraid the floor was going to give way, sending her plunging down the levels of Mayorfort. With a slight smirk, I picked the brush up off the table, reached over and hooked Foundation with my foreleg and pulled her over to my bed. Sitting here down beside me, I started brushing the tangles out of her mane. For a filly that apparently didn't play, she had the messiest mane I'd ever seen.
What did you do then?
Wildfire asked as she trotted across the room to sit opposite us on Foundation's bed.
Mary,
she squeaked as I tugged a bit too hard at an aggressively tangled knot.
Mary go, she wanted you. She, said.
The filly looked pleadingly up at me, but I shook my head. Her mane was getting untangled, and that was the end of it.
She said smooth tongue. Said he agreed.
I raised an eyebrow over to Wildfire, who looked contemplative. I tried to stay uninvolved in the politics of the town, but I knew the name Smooth Tongue well enough. How could I not know the name of our tyrant raider leader? Agree to what? I asked.
Independence, Wildfire said softly. We have been trying to disassociate ourselves with the Crimson Hoof for a while. So Mayor Gold, Noss, and I proposed a plan, a deal.
She looked at me with a smirk.
You wouldn't understand the specifics, but it seems he's... Well, he's let us become independent. Just trust me, this is a good thing.
I nodded at that and continued to brush Foundation's mane. I didn't understand politics, trade, or negotiations, but I did know Smooth Tongue and hated him for what happened to my mother. Any chance to get as far away from him was a good thing in my eyes.
Everything you love is gonna die.
My eyes darted around. I could have sworn I heard something.
Don't love. It hurts too much.
There it was again. Foundation and Wildfire both seemed not to notice, but I could have sworn.
Let them go. It'll be easier.
I realized I recognized that voice. Survive. That voice was mine. My eyes fluttered open. Sorry, that should have been I. My left one, as my right still seemed to be wrapped in that makeshift eye patch. With a groan, I started to look around the room, but didn't really see much, until a pony caught my attention. A skinny Pegasus buck in pitch-black armor was staring at me from across the room. His helmet showed none of his features, and came equipped with creepy bug-like eyes. Behind him, I saw his tail swinging back and forth, looking more like a rad scorpion's tail than a pony's. Carved into his armor's flank was a picture of a cloud and a lightning bolt.
Like it?
What, me? Wait a second, I knew that voice. Been a hell of a long time since I wore it. It was my grandpappy's back when he fled the skies, and he passed it down to me once I came of age. Wait a second. My eyes shot to the pair of grenade launchers sitting in the corner of the room.
What happened to your eye, anyway? Wait, don't tell me. Somebody tried to shoot your brains and missed.
Flare?
The stallion laughed, reared up on his hind legs, and paused there as if waiting for me to take a mental picture. Yep, had to be Flare.
Took you long enough to figure it out. Can't say that I'm surprised. It is I, Flare. You did tell me to meet you here after I lost Curly Fries in the Metal Flank Brigade.
Something wasn't meshing with my remembering of events, though. He must have brought the Vertibuck, but as far as I knew, he wasn't back with the Enclave yet. Back in Dyce, he had said he'd be able to join in about a week, which was about how long it had been. Huh. But if he had joined back with the Remnants, why even come back to us at all? And why would he bring that flying thingy? So, I said,
I suppose you should know the Remnants were hired by a house to bring you back once you finished this task.
I knew Flare well enough to know that he was smirking at me.
Considering what I saw outside, I'm guessing you were just about done here. Didn't take you long at all, did it?
No, it didn't. Apparently starting a war was as easy as shooting a kid. Post-haste, I reminded myself. It was important to remember his name.
What happened?
My throat felt scratchy.
Funny, I was about to ask you the same thing.
He whipped his scorpion tail back and forth.
Not that you ever know. From what I hear, somehow, both sides say the other shot first. There was fighting until Celestia's vision retreated. Then, according to Agna, the Steelhoof Mercenary Company broke its contract with Ratchet Song, forcing her to take her cult back to Dyce, or risk being slaughtered in the inevitable Zebra counterattack. Congratulations, whatever you did got the two sides to leave each other alone.
At the price of how many lives, I didn't feel all that victorious.
Cheer up, Mopey. There's going to be a fight no matter what. All you did was make them fight sooner.
Maybe that was true, but I couldn't get the memory of post-haste burning out of my head. Even if the two sides did fight, without me here, post-haste wouldn't have burned.
Great. I make my triumph return to find all my traveling buddies are depressed.
He shook his head and used his forehooves to pry off his helmet. Yep, it was definitely Flare under that armor. I think he looked more badass without the helmet on, because it made me realize it was in fact Flare I was talking to. And the contrast from what Flare was like when I met him to what he was like now was so strong it was hard not to be wowed.
Serenity, I said.
Right. Last time I saw her, she watched me murder a colt. Fuck, she was gonna hate me. I know that's what I wanted. Didn't make me feel any better about it, though. She needed to hate me so she could learn how not to act. But still, it hurt.
Last time I saw her, she was sitting in the corner replacing Scootaborg's tail with wires.
Right, not creepy at all. I rolled off the bed. Oh, I was lying on a bed. I guess that was important. And moved to the door.
Really? You're leaving? And here I thought you missed me. Such a shame. Shouldn't you, like, ask about what happened? Or, how about where you are? These are important things.
Shut up. Serenity was more important. Besides, looking around the room, I could see that it was the center building of Kharkov. This obviously meant that there had been enough survivors that they could afford to give me medical attention, and that they believed I was on their side because of my actions during the battle, meaning they were stupid for not realizing what I did.
Come on. Flare gave a weary sigh and followed me into the hallway.
Apparently I was getting smarter, because as soon as I entered, I could tell what floor I was on. You see, one of those tapestries hanging on the wall was ripped, meaning it probably was the tapestry used to make my eye patch, meaning I was on the third floor. Across the hall, I could see a small zebra stare at me with shock before quickly scurrying out of view. We didn't make it two steps before High Stakes appeared out of a side room. Wait, was he smiling at me? That couldn't be right.
I see you got her to wake up.
Hey, don't talk around me.
She's a heavy sleeper, Flair said with a shrug. Might have something to do with losing an eye. I hear that saps the energy right out of you.
Tell me about it. The fact that half my vision was obscured didn't help anything at all. Fighting was going to be a pain in the flank.
Master House will be glad to see you are up and running. Once you're done with whatever it is you are doing, we should leave. It is not wise to keep him waiting.
Why did it even matter? After he learned how I bungled this job, I wasn't going to get a job with him.
Though first I should ask you what you did when you kicked me out.
Fuck off! I stormed past him, shoving him into the wall with my shoulder. Behind me, I could hear Flair say,
Don't mind her. She's surly in the mornings. And afternoons. Evenings as well. And it's best not to speak to her at night either.
Why did I miss Flair again? It certainly wasn't his wit. I hated his wit. I got to the end of the hall when I realized I didn't actually know where Serenity was. And I suppose that would have been a problem if I wasn't blessed with the ability to burn around magic. Or something. Basically, I could feel the tingling sensation in my shoulder to let me know magic was nearby. More specifically, Serenity's magic. And I followed it. Second door on the right, and there she was. I found her sitting in the room from which I had shot post-haste, sitting on the same boxes where I'd made her watch. I wasn't even sure she was aware. She was just half leaning out the window, staring at the setting sun while she brushed Scudaborg's tail. I should mention that the tail had, in fact, been replaced by a series of thin wires. For a second, I didn't think she heard me walk in.
Why?
She asked, not turning around. Maybe she was afraid to see me. I couldn't blame her. Between my lack of an ear, lack of an eye, and lack of a soul, I was not a pretty sight.
Why did you?
She choked up. It didn't take an egghead to realize she was crying. This is the sort of thing I was trying to avoid. I started. I didn't mean to shoot the child, is what I wanted to say. It felt hollow, though. I was deluding myself if I thought the battle wasn't going to kill children. Maybe it was better if she saw me shoot him. Let her know who I really was. I started again. I couldn't think of anything to say. I did a horrible thing. I deserve to be hated. I'm sorry.
You're horrible.
I was.
You're a monster.
I couldn't argue with that.
I hate you.
You should.
Go away.
I turned and walked away. Mission accomplished. This is what I wanted, wasn't it? I wanted her to hate me, to fear me, to think I was a monster. She had seen me as I truly was. How else was she going to stop idolizing me? How else was she going to learn to be a better pony? But if everything had gone according to plan, how come I couldn't stop crying?
Are you sure there's nothing else we can do for you?
Agna, the zebra elder, said as she followed us out of the center building. Serenity reluctantly came out as well, though she stayed as far away from me as possible.
No, you've done enough.
I'd done enough. At least five of the homes in Kharkov were nothing more than smoke and rubble heaps, and three more of the ones I saw were burned badly enough to be unusable. The air stank of death and smoke, making it hard to breathe. In the center of the town, the black vertibuck stayed parked, attended by no less than five black armored pegasi. Throughout the town, zebras zipped back and forth, carrying corpses, fixing up broken buildings, moving wreckage. But the zebras made sure not to get close to the pegasi, and the pegasi made sure to avoid the zebras.
Are you sure?
The old zebra seemed honest, almost eager. A long shot from the way she was when we first met.
I saw you out there. Were it not for you convincing that bitch to leave?
Did she really think that was all I'd done? She had made the choice on her own. All I did was watch. That wasn't even my plan. I was just going to shoot her until she got them to surrender. No, I said. Out of the corner of my good eye, I saw two zebras carrying a corpse away.
It was nothing. Nothing at all.
Are you sure you do not wish for a potion? They are zebra secrets, but for what you did, perhaps a bow.
No!
I quickly clamped my mouth shut and looked away. I shouldn't have yelled. I growled as low as I could.
Sorry. I mean, no. It's been a long day.
I looked up at the setting sun. A long day indeed. Had we really only been here for a single day? It felt like so much longer. So many died today. The mayor looked down, but nodded. They shall be returned to their ancestors. We have lost many, but this is nothing new. We will survive. It is what we have always done. She looked so very tired. But if you must, please go on your way. Some of my clan do not care much for ponies. It is not hard to see why.
Not at all. We will go. Sorry, I said.
It is not your fault, child.
I tried to open my mouth to say something, but words refused to come. So instead, I walked past her and towards the vertibuck. Flair flapped ahead of me and gave me something of a stern look under his helmet.
Will you be okay to fly?
Huh? Something about his voice sounded weird. I chalked it up to the helmet.
Because the last time you flew, you nearly wet yourself, and this trip will be long. You should go to the bathroom.
I cut him off by pushing past and stepping into the flying machine. I'd be lying if I said I wasn't a little bit nervous, and I may have been shaken, just a little. Inside the vertibuck seating area was a single pale yellow Pegasus with a pure white mane and two clouds for a cutie mark.
Hired gun, I presume, he said in a strangely commanding voice. I'm Skyfall. As Captain Flair is taking the duty of helping to fly us, I'll be accompanying you back to Dyce.
Wait, this thing is powered by Pegasus? The Pegasus nodded once.
That seems strange.
And it's best not to question pre-war technology. Often the answers you get merely raise more questions.
Right, whatever. He must have seen me looking around nervously.
Do not fret. We are safe. This machine has never broken down on accident, and if it did, the Pegasus powering it would be able to glide us safely to the ground.
Unless we were attacked. But who would attack us? Well, the Steel Rangers for a start. Molly and her gang, if she survived the explosion, which she probably had if she had sent an assassin after me. Not to mention Granite Dynamite if she realized I went behind her back to kill Roy. Well, three factions wasn't so bad. I might be exaggerating my infamy a bit anyway. But it made me feel good to think that so many ponies wanted me dead, even if it wasn't entirely true.
Right. I took a seat as High Stakes and Serenity followed in behind.
For reasons I could not explain, High Stakes took the time to glare at Skyfall before sitting as far away from him as possible. Serenity took a seat beside me, but kept just far enough away for me to know she didn't want me around. She didn't even look around, just sullenly sat there staring at Scudaborg. So, this was going to be the most awkward flight in Remnant history. Then the vertibuck launched beneath me. I felt the urge to vomit rise in my stomach. A few seconds later, I could feel the machine start to speed up. We were flying. Fuck, we were flying. High up in the air, with nothing but a few pieces of metal and the trust of a few unknown Pegasi keeping me from falling 1,000 feet. I hated flying. So much. Don't think about it. Don't think about it. Don't think about it. Don't think about it. Don't think about it.
Stop being a wimp,
Serenity sneered. I did not like applying that action to Serenity, but it was unfortunately correct. She didn't even bother to look up at me when she said it. I think it made it easier for her.
Your daughter seems upset, Miss Gunn,
Skyfall said after politely coughing in his hoof. No pony had talked since we left Karkuf, and I could see he was eager to break the silence.
She's not my mother.
I winced. Despite everything I thought I knew, I found that blow hurting more than any other I'd taken since I left Bridal Hope. This made no sense. This is what I wanted. I wanted her to hate me, right? That's what this whole thing was about. I couldn't be her mother. I wasn't ready for that. Not again. So, what? Why did I feel so sorry for myself when she said I wasn't? Was I really so selfish I wanted her to think of me as her mother, but without me having to think of her as a daughter? I'm even more horrible than I had anticipated.
So, Miss Gunn, where are you from?
Skyfall said. I noticed that unlike the three of us, he sat so still he could have been carved from stone. The North, I said.
May I ask where?
He gave the slightest hint of a smile.
No,
I said. He stared blankly at me. Right, I guess talking to mysterious Pegasi was better than silently contemplating every single way the vertibuck could break down, sending me plummeting into my death.
Who are you? I asked. I was wondering when you'd ask. I'm Colonel Skyfall, second in command of the Grand Pegasus Enclave. Remnants,
High Stakes countered. He seemed oddly scholarly with Skyfall.
Didn't you get the memo? The Grand Pegasus Enclave is losing. The sky has been cleared, the Lightbringer defeated their armies, and you and your little breakaway is next. You're a little more than a 60-year-old rotting pus from a newly dead corpse that hadn't had the good manners to flush yourself down the drain. The wasteland would be better off if you laid down your arms.
I may have been going out on a limb, but I'm guessing High Stakes didn't like Skyfall.
Do I know you?
Skyfall didn't react to the verbal onslaught at all. It was actually creepy.
No, but I know you.
Today was Cryptic Reply Day. First pony to hit 15 cryptic replies first wins. So far I was leading with 4, but High Stakes was catching up quickly.
Have I insulted you, your family, your glasses?
As if on cue, somehow, his spectacles caught just enough light to shine ominously. High Stakes did not seem ready to answer the question, which was strangely out of character. Or in character. I had no idea what his character was like. Whatever his character, it was making my flight more awkward than I would have liked. So, to make sure every pony is on the same page, the count was 1 sulking filly, 1 statuesque Pegasus, 1 cryptically pissed off unicorn, and 1 earth pony mare, who was totally not afraid of heights. Basically, it sucked. A lot. It didn't help that the trip seemed to be hours of us just staring blankly at each other. I hated flying. So, you're a colonel? It was up to me to save the trip. Skyfall nodded with an enigmatic smile. Then, why go on a random contract?
To see you, of course.
Great, that's what I wanted to hear.
You caused quite a stir killing Roy, and I wanted to see what all the fuss was about.
It didn't take an impressive specimen to shoot a pony, though I suppose it did take guts to kill a pony like him.
And the Watchers seemed very excited about your, condition.
I raised an eyebrow.
The Star Medal, of course.
Right, of course. How could I forget?
It seems the Caledonian military did extensive research on the material before the bombs fell. Very interesting stuff.
I'm sure.
Of course, as a side effect, you'll find bits and pieces across the Dire's wasteland. Even a little scratch in the wrong area can kill a pony, yet you live. According to the Watchers, it was a combination of dumb luck and quantity.
I wasn't so sure about the luck part, but I had dumb going for me.
So? So I was curious. I'm in a position of considerable authority, and it's in my best interest to know the dangers I send my ponies out to face. Star Metal is not a huge danger, as it was a rare and costly thing, but it is dangerous enough to warrant care.
He smiled at me. His teeth were a perfect white. For some reason, that made me hate him. Either that or I was just in a hatey mood. So I am a specimen? I honestly didn't see what the big deal was, which is not a surprise, I suppose.
Yes. Well, at least he was honest. You are remarkably healthy for one who is dying.
I was dying? I don't think I was. I didn't feel like I was dying. You'd think it'd be one of those things you'd know for sure.
Dying?
Cerny asked, surprisingly soft. Even High Stakes had the courtesy to look shocked at this sudden proclamation.
According to all the research I've gathered, Star Metal's almost... I'm not dying.
I cast my glare at him and met his eyes. He had green eyes. And I hated green eyes. It always made me feel uncomfortable.
I don't know your game, but I'm not dying. Stop. Stop looking at me like that. I don't know why you came. Doesn't matter. But I'm not your lab rat, and I'm not gonna die. Not anytime soon. Whatever angle you're pulling, stop it.
He didn't react, but gave me a sad smile. Just then, the vertibuck slammed down into something. My badass glare was cut off by a moment of panic as I thought we were crashing. We weren't. A few seconds later, the door opened, revealing a black-clad Pegasus.
And we're here. Hope it wasn't too boring. The Pegasus made a show of sniffing inside the vertibuck. Smells good, so I assume High didn't find it too scary?
I had to guess it was Flair, and that confirmed it. What an ass. I followed him out of the vertibuck onto the roof. Off the edges of the roof, I could see hints of buildings and streets far below. Off in the distance, I could see the 3-barrel-shaped buildings of the alehouse, and right across the street, rising high into the sky, was the huge tower that topped the Clips and Clops Casino. Even from where I stood, high above most of Dais, the pony head as the top of the tower looked ominous and imposing. How could any pony build something so high? So, here I was again, Dais. Hadn't I just escaped this damn city? So why was I back here again? This place took my hopes and dreams, chewed them up and spit them out, and then pissed on them. It was a horrible, miserable city. Made all the worse that it was one of the safest places in the wastes. and that if it were not for this stupid fucking city, I wouldn't have been holding 6,000 caps in my saddlebags. I hated Dice, and it had made me rich. It seemed like all roads led to Dice, so I had to get used to it. Molly, Granite Dynamite, Royal Mustang, Mayhem, Clean Cut, Photo Finish, Elder Chunk of Soup, Righteous Song, Skyfall, and now Mr. House. I turned to Flair, who had taken off his Enclave helmet. I've lived in this city since I was a foal, and I only met three of those, until I met you. For a pony that claims not to like talking, you sure do get around. What's your secret? Alcohol, I said dryly, and being strong. He raised an eyebrow. Well, I said, the way I see it, ponies in charge think they're smart. Smart ponies in charge like they have dumb ponies follow their orders. I make a good dumb muscle. I'm sure Roy Mustang would agree. I tried out one of those enigmatic smirks that seemed so popular. Exactly.
Did you really kill him? Forgive my disbelief. I've heard it said, and yet...
Ah, who? I turned my head to see High Stakes standing beside me. Right, half my vision was black. This is going to be hard to get used to. Could be worse, I suppose. At least I had most of my limbs.
She killed him, all right. Saw it, too. It was a classy move. Though it would have been nice if some of us were in on the plan before you did it.
I turned my head to see Flair hanging upside down, grinning at me. I would have smiled had Serenity not spoken up, her tone dark.
Let's just go already.
A pink thing darted past us and into the waiting darkness of the rest of the rooftop. Eventually, we were going to have to talk. A real one. And my gut was already tearing itself apart in anticipation.
Oh!
A voice behind me. Fuck all these ponies. I remember a time when I actually got some peace and quiet to be over-emotional. I turned to see Skyfall waving at me as the vertibuck started to ascend.
Take care, Captain Flair, for me. And try not to die too soon.
I hate you, I hate you, I hate you. Also, as it turns out, I cannot, in fact, make ponies' heads explode with my thoughts. Starscream, right? The red buck with the royal blue mane smiled at me. What gave it away? He flapped his robotic wings a little. Is it because I'm an alicorn? He wasn't, not really. I mean, it was pretty cool that he was a unicorn that got augmented wings, but that didn't make him an alicorn. They were something special. I'd met him once before, right after I killed Roy. We didn't have the chance to talk much, as I had to run for my life, but I knew he worked for Mr. House. Honestly, I was a bit surprised to find him here.
Ah, High Stakes, you have returned. Perhaps you've reconsidered Mr. House's offer?
Not likely. As much as I appreciate it, I prefer to keep my body as is.
He shook his head.
And no, I am not listening to Celestia's vision swell. I merely want to keep my body my own.
Starscream was obviously preparing a rebuttal before High Stakes cut him off.
Yes, I know it need not be anything big. A tail, an eye, or dermal armor. I am not interested.
Ah, well, it was worth a shot. Mr. House is very interested in your considerable talent.
He turned back to me.
And yours, though it seems you hit a rough patch since we last spoke. You seem to have lost an eye.
He gave a weak smile.
Your cybernetics are more enough to be admitted to the Hysaea, but I can arrange for a new eye for you as well, if House agrees, and if you agree to his proposal.
What? Flair smirked. Don't we get to talk about it at all? Discuss? Seems like the thing to do. I'm well-versed in barter.
Captain Flair, right? You're lucky House is allowing an enclave rat like you in his presence. He may employ your service, but he knows who you and your kin really are.
He said it so sweetly, I almost forgot just what he was saying. It was a rare talent indeed.
But I can assure you there will be no bargaining. House will tell you what the deal will be, and you will accept or not. He does not negotiate. If he is feeling generous, he'll allow you time to think.
The cybernetic alicorn kept on smiling.
Also, I should be clear any deal he makes will be for you, hired gun, not your companions, and especially not the Enclave rat.
Can we go in? It's cold. I suppose I should have mentioned that we were still standing on the roof, right in front of the entrance to the Black Salamander Hotel and Casino and whatever else. It seemed ever since the clouds had fled that the nights had been getting cooler. And I blame magic.
Oh, Starscream said from the open doorway. Right this way.
It was at that moment that I realized I was leading Serenity into what could only be considered cybernetic heaven, and she didn't react. She just stared at the floor. It was kind of depressing, like everything else that happened today. I was sensing a pattern. The casino, hospital thing, from now on I'm calling it the BS because it lacks a pithy name. Anyway, the BS was fairly clean and very well lit. The other casinos I'd been in were lit well enough so that I could see, but it seemed Mr. House was obsessed with keeping every light on at all times. I could only imagine it was just another dick-waving maneuver, same as why he only fully employed cyborgs. The actual style of the BS left much to be desired. It wasn't bad, but it didn't give me anything to latch onto. The moon left me feeling dark and dirty, as was intended, and the alehouse looked like a mix of class and debauchery, while the clips and clops made me want to eat a lot of cake. But as I walked through the halls of the BS, I didn't get any impression at all. Maybe that was on purpose. It just felt so bland and sterile. Evidently, I should have gotten a cutie mark in interior decorating, the way I was analyzing the hotel. Starscream eventually led us to what could only be Mr. House's meeting chamber. I made sure to put on my shades before entering. It's always good to make an impression. It had to be, because it was a huge semicircular room with giant windows that faced dais covering the entirety of a section of wall. Directly in front of an array of computer terminals was a giant monitor that looked to be 10 times larger than was necessary. The rest of the room, however, seemed pretty fancy as well. Expensive-looking couches, lamps, and what looked like a door on the right side led to a personal bedroom, though that was only a guess. In terms of extravagance, it was slightly below Roy's huge penthouse suite, but above the offices of the other gang leaders I met.
"Hello,"
the computer said. "Wait a second." I stepped forward and let my companions file in behind me and watch the computer screen. If you're keeping track, Starscream was standing by the door, High Stakes to my left, Flare to my right, and Serenity far behind me glumly looking at Scootaborg and not saying much. Idly I wondered if Scootaborg could become a Hazei. On the enormous oversized screen was a picture of a classy-looking stallion with a pencil mustache. For reasons I couldn't explain, the screen was rather staticky and the voice fuzzy. You'd think he'd have gotten an upgrade.
"I am Mr. House. I've been wet."
"This is such bullshit!"
I turned my startled gaze to Serenity after her outburst, to find her glaring at the screen.
"You can't just talk to us from a screen. Do you have any idea what we went through to do your stupid job? At least talk to us face to face, stupid."
"Ha, you are a smart filly."
Was the computer laughing?
"Most take hours before they ask. Yes, I'll show myself."
So it wasn't just a voice or something. That was slightly disappointing. The door on the right side of the room cracked open. If you guessed that was where he was hiding, give yourself a cookie now. Mr. House came out of the door. He was not exactly what I'd been expecting. He was a short-statured earth pony, wearing a classy suit and a hat. Surprisingly, from what I could see, he had exactly zero cybernetics. Considering his pretense of making all his employees cyborgs, I couldn't help but feel cheated. Oh, and he was a ghoul. It was the easiest way to survive 200 years.
"Aye," he said, trotting in front of his giant computer screen. "I am Mr. House." He gave us a mocking bow. "You are high gun. Do not bother with introductions. I know all about you. Yes, it's not every day a cyborg wanders into dais and kills a gang leader. And let me just say, you are horrible."
What?
"You made a sloppy mess of your schemes. Your killing Roy, well, not a bad idea, was executed, if you'll pardon the pun, poorly enough that any pony with sufficient information network could have deduced you were the pony who did it. Dozens of better mercs walk into dice every year, and most don't get half the chance you are getting now. I'm not hiring you because you are anything special. You are not. I'm not hiring you because of whatever the Star Medal has done to your insides. It does not matter. I'm not hiring you because you are smart, or talented, or good at your job. You are not. I am hiring you because, for good or ill, you have become known in my city. What is more, known as a cyborg. I am the cybernetic paragon in this city, and I do not like cyborgs getting loose and sullying the name of my industry. For this reason, I plan to claim you. Hopefully, by you agreeing, I can teach you how not to fuck up an assassination." He paced when he talked, and it was hard not to stand up straighter as he criticized me. He was clearly a pony that was used to being in charge. Oh, and he kept talking. "On the other hoof, I thoroughly enjoyed you throwing a wrench into Molly's schemes. She is a transparent ass, excuse me, and I had plans to stop her before she got too far. But seeing an idiot throw her for a loop, well, that was juicy. I assume she must have insulted you something fierce for you to go so far out of your way to mess up her plans and incriminate her in the death of Roy as well." He grinned with his stained yellow teeth. It was interesting. Unlike other ghouls I'd known, his voice lacked the cracked, gravelly feeling.
Maybe he had a voice synthesizer cybernetic.
Now that that is over, High Stakes, your report?
Yes. High Stakes seemed to stand straighter out of the corner of my eye. Well, she appears to be an idiot.
Yay, a glowing review.
However, she is an honest one. From what I have seen and the reports I have gathered, she is very, very strict when it comes to upholding her contract. Her lack of planning skills is made up for by a strength that is at times frightening.
And the child?
The liability, he admitted. Though a small one, it seems few ponies last long after threatening her.
Mr. Howe seemed unimpressed. I was okay with that.
Your recommendation?
Important but non-critical missions, preferably outside the city where you may disassociate her if she goes off the rails, and where she can cause as much carnage as possible.
Mr. Howe seemed to think about that for too long, so High Stakes continued.
She is not, as you can imagine, suited for infiltration or subterfuge.
Now that part confused me. If House tried to hire all cybernetics, it'd be assumed that any pony with cybernetics was working for him. In fact, Molly assumed I was at one point. So how could they spy? After a few minutes of rumination, I realized not all cybernetics were as obvious as a metal leg, like organ transplants, dermal armor, or maybe an inner ear implant. I need to ask Serenity. Oh, wait, she hated me. Fuck.
Though?
Oh, turns out High Stakes was still talking. That's all these important top ponies did. Talk and talk and talk until their tongues fell off.
I would not put her on guard duty either. She is strong, but not perceptive, and prone to boredom.
I was not. No pony believes that. Do you? Fuck.
Still, send her against something that needs to die, messily, and they will die come hell or high water. Is that sufficient?
House nodded.
Now, can I ask why I am the one to give this report rather than, say, an actual Hisei?
Mr. House chuckled. I appreciate your outside view. He turned back to me, bits of skin flaking off his face. So, Hide Gun, considering your glowing recommendation, I will give you a deal. 500 caps a month, plus expenses. Of course, this includes a room here at the Black Salamander, as well as any meals you have while staying here. You still have to pay for chits if you want to gamble. I'll have Starscream draw up a formal contract. Obviously, it will include things like not ever taking a contract, which would go against my interests, but...
White.
He did. His mouth slammed shut and his eyes shot me a glare that could melt a mirror. Not shatter, melt.
Why should I take the contract?
That's right. I just asked for details before blindly agreeing to the first contract I got. Karkuff taught me that maybe I should ask questions before pledging my life completely on the mission. Make no mistake, I still would perform every contract I agreed to without question, but I decided to think before I agreed.
Why? You mean other than the fact that you've spurned every major gang to the point they'd rather kill you than look at you? That other than me, your choices are pulling on a uniform, putting on a dress, or learning to be a doctor? He adjusted his hat with a hoof. Or more specifically, do you expect me to monologue like a villain?
I nodded.
Well, at least you're honest. You want to work with me because I hold the only chance Dice has. War is coming, make no mistake about it. And when it will come with a fury the world hasn't seen in 200 years. What do you think will happen to Dais? We are fractured and weak. We are the last city, a bastion to the resurgence of old Caledonia, a hallmark of engineering and enterprise. But when an army comes to our doorstep, do you imagine we, splintered as we are, have a chance? Dais will fall either to tyranny or to the bullet. What we need is a united front, and I am the only pony that can provide it. The other gangs hold on to their power and hoard. Only I have created more. I turned cybernetics into an art form. I have started not only a business, but business's essential counterpart, competition. Only I have survived 200 years of infighting and gang wars. The others rise and fall, but I have been steady as the rocks the city was built on. I plan to rule Dice and make it the center of industry and progress. Make no mistake, I don't need you to work for me. But I am offering you the chance to have your hoof in the door. Still, I am sure it is a tough decision. If you would like, I can give you 2 days to decide. In the meantime, I have had a room prepared for you. If you choose not to accept, there will be no repercussions. But if you do accept, I can assure you that it'll be worth it. I am very influential, and I may be able to do something about the bounty on your head.
I gulped, and he smiled and walked away. So that was Mr. House. When you invite him to monologue, he really gave it his 120%. I take it back. The BS was not plain at all. At least my room wasn't. I was given a huge suite with 3 separate bedrooms, a living area, a kitchen, and 2 bathrooms. I know, it could have fit my house in Mareford inside 10 times over. The beds themselves were huge even for me, and the blankets smelled clean, like cleaned and everything. I thought I was hallucinating, which actually wouldn't have been that shocking. Damn, I knew this was not so subtle manipulation by Mr. House, but damn. What's this? Off in the corner of the living room was a rather large box with a letter strapped to it. Oh, Starscream smiled at the box and flapped his metal wings.
Apparently some kid out west sent you a package. Mayhem seemed pissed he had to catalog your mail.
Mail? What, really?
I stepped up to it and opened the letter. Let's see. Dear Hired Gun, first of all, Hired Gun, I am thousands of kilometers away, and even though I know that's a fake name.
Ouch, that hurt, random stranger guy.
Something, something, didn't take a job. Oh, beer, that's good. Who the fuck is Clover?
I shook my head and crumpled the letter up, and then turned to Flair, who had followed me into my room.
When did I turn down a job?
Flair looked contemplative before answering.
When you lost that rib.
Oh, yeah. Fucker heart.
Some idiot came down asking you to take a job in some random desert. I turned him away for you.
Right. I owe you a beer. I looked down at the box. I wasn't sure what Golden Harp was, but it sounded delicious. Unfortunately, drinking was going to have to wait. Flair and I need to have a little talk, and there was no way it was going to be good for any pony involved. I looked around the room and sighed in relief. Serenity was off exploring our suite. Starscream seemed to have vanished, and High Stakes seemed to have left for his own personal room. It was just me and Flair left in the living room.
When'd you join the Enclave again?
His smile faded.
When did I...
You heard the question, I snapped.
It had not been a good day. I was worn out, tired, grumpy, and more than a little depressed.
Don't answer. Let me guess, since you got detoxed, right?
4 days after, he admitted.
That fucker. 4 days after when I was working for Roy, before I'd even infiltrated Miles' casino.
Guess there's no point lying about.
You were spying on me?
Of course I was, Flair laughed, but didn't seem that jolly. Fuck, Hyde, I like you. You know that. It's nothing personal. You're a fun pony to drink with. You have saved my ass. Hell, I'd call you a friend, but my family comes first. Skyfall told me I could get back in so as long as I kept my eyes on you.
He shook out his mane.
It's not personal, really. It wasn't even your actions. You just wanted to know stupid shit. What time you got up, if you ever got sick, how pale you look, signs of demonic possession. You know, the usual.
You spied on me.
The world isn't about you, Hyde, he said softly. Hard to believe, right? You're a good pony, really, but if you thought for a second I would throw away my family, my home, and the only life I've ever known for you, you are stupider than I ever could have imagined. You? Hell, you cleaned me up and gave me a chance to get my life back, and now you're shocked when I took that opportunity? I didn't want to do it, but what choice did I have?
Spied on me. My friend spied on me. My filly hated me. I never should have cared. It was easier when I didn't. Everything was going wrong, right when it should have been going right.
Fuck Flair. Fuck his smarmy attitude. Fuck everything. I shouldn't have cared about him. He always was unreliable. Why was I shaking? He was just Flair.
Hyde, listen. I promise I ain't been giving no secrets. The stuff he wants to know, it doesn't matter. He still wants some pony spying on you, and it's better me to your face than some pony watching from a distance.
Get out!
He jumped back. I shouldn't have shouted. I knew I shouldn't have shouted. Everything was just getting too much to handle. There was nothing I could rely on, and things just kept getting worse. I was dying, and no pony cared. Flair needed to leave, because if he kept on talking, I was going to shut him up for good.
He started to talk, but lowered his head, his ears drooping. Sorry, he murmured before turning and slowly leaving my room.
The razor tail of his Enclave armor swung back and forth as he walked, cutting up the doorframe as he left. He was gone, so now what? I needed a fucking drink. So I walked over to the box of Golden Harp and pried it open. A few seconds later, the first bottle was open and in my mouth. I barely got a drop before I saw Serenity staring at me from the corner of my eye. With a heavy sigh, I put the bottle back down. I really did not want to talk to her.
Why did you do it?
her voice so quiet. It was scary. There was something behind her words, something that hurt a lot.
Why'd you shoot him?
I gritted my teeth together.
Because I was paid to.
It was a weak excuse. Of course it was, but it was the truth. I wasn't aiming for him. Yet he died. What did intent matter when the result was the death of Foles? I couldn't agree with my own arguments.
I didn't. You killed him.
I winced. She was crying again. Of course she was. I was built up as an idol, something to praise, and now I took that out from under her. Her idol couldn't even make up a proper excuse. Her sad gray eyes seemed to ask, how could I ever want this monster to be my mother?
I did,
I said.
Why?
It was an accident.
You don't even care.
If she only knew how wrong she was.
I thought you were different. I thought you were supposed to be.
She sobbed back up at me. I did this to her. I made her see me for who I was. Part of me knew it was better for her to face the truth now, but the rest of me wanted to kick myself for hurting her.
You saved me. So how could you kill him?
I bit the bridle, pulled the trigger, let the bullet fly. How? Easily. Killing ponies is the easy part. It's a living with yourself after that's tricky.
I'm not a good pony.
I looked away.
You had to see. You deserve better. But I wanted you. You didn't have to take the job. You could have said no. You should have said no. You would have said no. You only did to teach me a lesson. It's not fair.
No, it wasn't fair. She may have been right. Maybe I did take the job just to show her I was horrible. Somehow that made me so much worse.
She
sniffed before wiping her nose with a foreleg.
You were supposed to be my mama.
Is that all you care about? Stop talking, Silver. Let it go. Don't get angry. Stop it. The words came out anyway.
You say I don't care, yet it doesn't matter to you who I am. You just want me to protect you, and who gives a fuck about my opinion on the matter? You're so desperate for a family, you're trying to create one where one doesn't belong. And whenever we fail to live up to your ideals, you pout and cry until we do what you want.
She's just a filly. Shut up, Silver. Why couldn't I just let it go? Didn't matter. And yet,
you've been manipulating me since I saved you. I care, but you're trying to force me into a role I'm not ready for. That ain't right, and you know it. I can't do this, Serenity, and you're not making it any easier.
I looked down at her. My mind was swimming. My whole body ached, and I was so mentally, physically, and emotionally exhausted I felt like falling over and never getting up. However, when I looked at her face, it made everything that much worse. It was twisted in a grimace that looked like she was trying to process 50 emotions all at once. She was looking at me, and for the first time, she saw me for who I really was, a monster. So when she started to cry and fled the room, I didn't bother to chase her. I just stared blankly at where she had been. My mind tried to process the things I had just said to her. I tried to see how she must have felt. I really was a monster.
Dear Princess Celestia, I mumbled, still in complete shock at what I'd said. I fucked up. I'm back in the city I hate.
I stormed over and grabbed the still-open bottle of Golden Harp. I chugged it in a single go, not even bothering to taste it.
My soon-to-be employer knows I'm an idiot.
I looked down at the open box. The bottles of beer stood ready for me, my own personal army.
My friends spy on me.
I grabbed the entire box in my teeth. The largest bedroom was only a few feet away, through a door, so I stormed in there and threw the box over the large bed. Bottles spilled out, covering it, but not a single one broke.
And my filly?
I flopped onto the bed and grabbed another bottle in my mouth. She ran away. Back to the Watchers, probably. I downed the bottle.
Fuck, everything hurt so much.
And I just wanted to stick a Med-X in my eye and make all the pain go away. I dropped the empty bottle, flopping back onto the bed. I may have been crying, but it didn't matter. None of it mattered.
Saranda hates me. I made her hate me. I said horrible things to her because I'm horrible.
I drank another bottle, and then another. Maybe if I drank enough, I could die, and this would all go away. Footnote: Level Up,
something. You can't really remember what perk you took, but it was probably a stupid one.